Welcome, everybody, this Christmas Eve. Glad that you can be out here. Some of you are regulars to Terra Nova. Some are friends, family, and visitors. We're glad you could come out here tonight and that your friends and family talked you into coming to church in a nightclub on Christmas Eve. I appreciate that you would take the risk of doing that, and I hope it's been a blessing so far and will continue to be for you. We gather here to worship, and we gather here to hear a story told that has not tired people for 2,000 years. We've gathered to do this in every language and in every corner of the earth. People have stopped for this in times of war, in times of great economic wealth, in times when they're lonely, and in times where their hearts seem fulfilled. Because what we celebrate tonight is the truest truth of our faith and life with God. And yet when we celebrate it, sometimes it can be so busy that we can be distracted. We can find ourselves so caught up in getting the address lists of cards to mail, the recipes for meals that need to be put together, the boxes of ornaments that we thought we remembered putting away in a better place than the year before, or the gifts that we didn't think about until today, or for some of us, writing a sermon. Done before today, but it's so natural to try to make something more of it than it is that I hope today we can move back to those core pieces. The message is so simple and said so well by others that it's an easy day to be someone who simply directs people's minds and hearts towards God. And so I want to borrow the message from those who are the most professional of messengers for God, the angels. Angels, their very name means messenger, and when they bring their message, they're instructed directly from God on how to do it. They're so impressive just in sharing his words and their very presence, they don't even need PowerPoint or a band to set things up for them. It's amazing who they are. They're people, beings who bring the wonder of God to people on earth. The first message that they bring, and we'll talk about the three angelic messages that bring about the birth of Christ. The first one they bring is to a priest named Zechariah. In Luke chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "An angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah and turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." It's the first angel message regarding Christmas that we have. And it's a message of a miraculous child, not the Christ, but John the Baptist, one who comes from a woman who is too old to have a child at this point. And John the Baptist, in the angel's description, it said that he will be great before the Lord. Jesus, when he speaks of John, will say, "No one greater born from men has been born than this person." Here's who he is in his greatness before the Lord. He's one who's filled with the Spirit of God. His source of energy, direction, holiness, the measure of his life is in the Holy Spirit of God. And what does that look like when we look at him? Well, not to kill the joy of people who spike their eggnog, but he didn't drink strong drink of wine. I figure I'd mention that because I know some of you are going to sweat that one out. It's okay that you do. The Bible forbids drunkenness, but John didn't drink at all. So there would be no confusion as to what moved him to say the things that he said. The greatness of his life consisted in turning many to the Lord, because we go astray. Because knowing what we know, we still find our hearts turning, because it's who we are. The people of God, Israel, turned so many times. Only a short time after being delivered from Egypt did they forget. And Christian, we turn so many times. Shortly after days where we celebrate with great joy the goodness of God, we forget him and move aside. The greatest among men, turn the hearts of people towards the Lord. The hearts of fathers to children. Men who lose their way in the things they can acquire and the busyness of their hours. Back true love in the future. The disobedient to the wisdom of the just. So many times we lose our way, not just in Christmas, but the busyness of our times make us lose direction with so many choices on how to shape things. To make people ready. John's purpose was to talk to us about all the sin that was in us. That was his contribution to the great Christmas story, his present that we can thank him for, was to tell us that to be ready, we needed to have hearts softened by our own sense of sinfulness before a holy God, that we could make room for what we needed. For a Savior to be effective, a sinner must know they are a sinner. The hope of the message of Christmas to the religious, to a man like Zechariah the priest, is that God is faithful in all of his promises. He doesn't leave us with just the repetition of ritual. He interrupts it with his power. Second angel comes and speaks to Mary. And the angel says, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of God, the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will have no end. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. For nothing will be impossible with God." This angel comes with the message of one called Jesus, not born among men. His name means "with God is salvation." And he doesn't come from a line of people who may even do great things like God to point, like John to point us to God. He's God with us. Emmanuel. The peace we most long for and need that no man or woman, no matter how much they loved us, no matter how much they owned, no matter how much wisdom they possessed, could never give to us. He's described as having the throne of his father David, rule and dominion forever. We're people who lack peace so much because we cannot order things as God would. We cannot order our lives as God would. We cannot order our nation as God would. We cannot order all the families of the earth as God would. But in Christ, we have one whose promise is to rule rightly, to bring all those who are his in the place where they belong forever. For Mary, the message that I think she would have heard from that sermon from the angel that we can take with us is that nothing is impossible with God. The teenage virgin who heard that believed and said, "I'm your servant." Have the radical hope this Christmas. The thing that you're most worried that can't be worked out, trust your God that all things are possible with him and nothing is impossible with him. Leave your anxiety at this manger and take with you the Christ born of a virgin. Peace and hope come with the radical recognition that nothing is impossible to the living God. And then the last angel sermon, the one we heard read today, the one to shepherds. The angels tell them there is good news of great joy that a Savior and a Lord is born. Three times the angels began each of the sermons the same way. Don't be afraid. Because we are. We are afraid to be fully open before God and to hear what he has to say. Because so many times we know we've hardened ourselves in the presence of God rather than been warmed by the presence of God. The Puritans used to say that it was the same sun that hardened the clay that also warmed us. And so many times we're afraid because we have not been consistently close with God. And the angels say to them, this is good news that will bring great joy, that you will have a Savior, your needs will be met, and you will have a Lord. The world will be ordered rightly. And when the angels finish, they break into spontaneous worship. Maybe it was planned, but I don't think so. I don't think the one who was preaching said, okay, when I finish that last word about Bethlehem, you come in on the harp, and then you take the alto, and I'll take that. I think it was just a natural, reflexive response of these beings who were so close to God, who knew that his heart was to bring these men and women to themselves, and they overflowed with joy. And the shepherds followed the practice of the angel. They want to see what God has revealed, so they go to Bethlehem to see it. If God has spoken to you, ever, through the word, through preaching, even through the songs that we sing, which are really great theological prayers, respond to it. Follow up on it. Don't just hear and walk away. It's significant and special when you hear from God. Follow through. So the shepherds go to Bethlehem, and as they leave and see that it's true, that God can be trusted, they've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, they worship. It says they go away praising God. They learned from these great messengers the response of God revealing his goodness and greatness is us speaking and singing of his goodness and greatness out of joyful hearts set free, no longer burdened by just how do we measure ourselves. The greatness of God so eclipses everything that we would consider great in ourselves and others, so categorically separate that we sing and praise out of a heart of joy and a freedom that comes from nothing else and no one else. And in these things, the love of God is hidden. And it's only seen with faith. Because someone without the eyes of faith could look at those three situations and say, Zechariah was just an old priest. Something happened, I can't explain it with the child, but just an old priest following his religion. They may look at the shepherds and pass them by as only simple men who were working in the field, not worth listening to about such profound matters as knowing God. And to look at Mary, a woman who's economically poor and a teenage pregnancy and miss everything. But with faith, we see that the love of God is hidden in right religion being found in hearts that wait for his promise to be fulfilled. We find that right worship comes from those who see him and proclaim him. And we find that love is hidden in this, a savior and a king, in an infant, in human flesh, already a king, who will become the sacrifice, an innocent one, sacrificed for our sin. And God knew this, and when he sent the message that his son would be sacrificed, he said to the angels, the message is, this is great joy. The heart of God. That he would give such and say, this is joy. Someone who loves you, and maybe you didn't know well, might come to you and bring a gift for you that was so wonderful that you feel embarrassed by it. You want to say, oh, no, we didn't agree to give a gift, so please, take that back. Or you might begin to race through your head of, well, what can I give this person? I have to think of something, and it'll have to be really good. And you try to make it all about what you can do to equal this. The love of God is hidden in this. There is nothing that we can do when he says, I give you Christ as a sacrifice, and it is joy to me to do that, that many sons and daughters will return. The only offering we can give is that what the angels and the shepherds gave is our worship. We're going to have a chance to sing about the bliss that God gave to the angels. And during that time, we're going to share that together as a community, displaying the light that God has given to this world by lighting candles. Two of the pastors here at Terra, Pastor Matthew Miller and Pastor Phil Taylor, are going to come up and light off the Christ candle and be able to share that. And you'll just keep moving person to person, handing that light to another as we sing and worship our Lord. It's my heartfelt wish that you would take these messages of the angel, think about them in your Christmas, and celebrate what God has delivered to you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, the message that you give us is so clear and so simple. We needn't be afraid. Your promises are true. Nothing is impossible. And you've given us a Savior to meet our need and a Lord to guide our lives. And his name is Jesus. Salvation is with you. Father, it is our prayer that our hearts would turn openly. We wouldn't shy away from this gift. We would receive this gift. So many are afraid to take what you offer, dear God, because we can never repay. Free them to know there is no payment to be given. This is grace. Let us experience that more deeply and more freshly, even if we think we've known it, God. Bring us into that familiar territory that is fresh and new and even strange to be with you more profoundly. Thank you for this, in Jesus' name.